If Jesus were here today in this building, and you had an opportunity to ask him one request, what would that be? If he came up to you and said, "Ask one thing of me," what would you ask him? What request would you make of him? Would it be maybe something miraculous? I would be tempted maybe to say, "Lord, would you raise my mother from the dead, who passed away a few years ago, so that I can talk? I'd love to talk with her again. I'd love to give her a hug. I'd love to listen to her." Would it be something miraculous? What would it be? Another thing that comes to my mind, it would be tempting for me as a gospel preacher and a teacher to ask Jesus if he would give me the correct interpretation of a particular Bible passage that has troubled people for many years. Maybe some passage where we go round and round with the denominations. For example, is baptism necessary for the remission of sin? Something like that. Or it might be a passage where we go round and round with brethren. Maybe a passage on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. "Lord, would you give me your divine interpretation and understanding of this passage?" Or maybe the book of Revelation. The date, those types of things that we discussed. That would be tempting, wouldn't it? That way it would be solved for all time and eternity. Maybe it would be something along the lines of, "Could you come home with me? I have a family member that needs to be saved. I have a family or a friend who needs to be brought back to the Lord. And I was wondering if you could come personally talk with them. Maybe you could get them to be saved." I bet you would have a request. I would. But what would it be? What would you ask the Lord to help you with? Now keep thinking about that while I share this other with you. Just this past week, an older member of the church, whom Sherry and I have known for over 20 years, mentioned to me that a family member of her had just recently quit the church. And they were raised in the church. This person is about my age, a little over 50. They have been a Christian from probably teenage years. So we're talking over 30 years, 40 years. And they just quit, up and quit. And they've been missing for a while, and recently, they decided to go with a friend to a particular denominational church. And they said that they really enjoyed that. And they're thinking about maybe going there now. Well, you can imagine this mother's heartbreak over that matter. So, coming back to the original question, what would you ask the Lord for? What would you ask the Lord for? I want to look at one request that was made of Jesus. If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 17. And while it would be tempting to ask for a miracle, "If Jesus raised my mother, that would be really neat. I would enjoy being with her again. But eventually she's going to die again." And if I ask Jesus to help me with his divine interpretation of a particular Bible scripture, I'm pretty certain that after I walked away, I'd be thinking, "Oh, man, I wish I would have asked him about that other one. There was that other one that I wish I would have asked him about." And if I had asked him to come home and help with a family member, that certainly would be encouraging. But we know that Jesus spoke directly to a number of people. And when he got done, they still didn't believe. They still didn't do the right thing. So that's sort of a risk you run there. When I think about this kind of thing, I think about a request such as we're going to look at in Luke chapter 17 that I believe, regardless of who we are today, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what's going on, this would be the absolute best request that I can think of. And that is the one in Luke chapter 17 and verse 5. The text simply says, "The apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith." I want to talk this morning about that request. If you stop and think about it, this is a request that is so fundamental that we all need to have in our life each day, and that is extremely foundational and fundamental. Those other things that I just mentioned, and maybe you had thought of something else. Those were three things that I thought of. Something miraculous. Help me with the meaning of a scripture, or can you come home? You may have thought of something completely different. But this speaks to our own soul's salvation, and it's what we need all through our life. It's not just something that would encourage us at the moment and then later would go away. It's that foundational principle of having faith that will cause us to go all through life and be faithful and go to heaven. Brethren, I don't know about you, but I'm hearing and seeing and witnessing as I get older more and more of individuals who have had faith in the past and they're losing it. They're losing it. And so when I think about something that I would want to ask the Lord and that I think you should ask the Lord, that is, Lord, increase our faith. In fact, I would encourage you sometime today to go home and do that. Lord, increase my faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Just short and to the point. Mean it. Be serious about it. Mean it. But that is something that we need to request the Lord. In Luke chapter 17, let's read the text together, verses 5 through 10. Luke 17, 5 through 10. The apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Notice that they had faith. They didn't say, Lord, give me faith. They had faith. We all have some level of faith here this morning. What they're requesting is, increase our faith. Verse 6, and the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say unto this sycamore tree, be thou rooted up and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. But who is there of you having a servant plowing or keeping sheep that will say unto him when he has come in from the field, come straightway and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded? Even so you also, when you shall have done all the things that are commanded, you say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. I find it interesting that when the apostles ask Jesus in verse 5, increase our faith, he doesn't say, okay, I'll increase your faith. He goes off on a story about a servant. Did you notice that? Either Jesus completely ignored their request, which I doubt he would do, or he's tying in this matter of being a servant to increasing faith, and I believe it's the latter. Stop and think about it. What is one way to have our faith increased? To take the approach of verse 10, we have a duty, an obligation as servants of Christ to do what we need to do. And with that attitude, we are going to be stronger each day in the Lord's service. He talks about a man in verse 7 that when he gets done at the end of the day, he doesn't invite the servant to come down and sit with him at the table. He tells the servant, "You need to serve me," verse 8, because that's what servants do. And look at verse 9. Doth he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded? Jesus is not encouraging ungratitude or an ungrateful attitude, ingratitude. He's not saying don't ever thank anybody. He's saying in verse 9 that that person is not thanked because the master expects him to do just what he's supposed to do. And we need to have that sense of duty. But this morning I want us to consider the request, increase our faith. Wouldn't that be more foundational and fundamental than asking Jesus for a miracle or a proper interpretation of a verse or something else that you thought of? Wouldn't that be what we need? And it is. I want to talk this morning about this request, and I want it to be our request this morning. Faith can indeed be increased. Faith can be increased, and we know that there are a number of passages that teach that. In the book of Matthew, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30, and you'll see on the chart there these other passages out of Matthew. There are different places in the Gospels where Jesus said to His followers, "O ye of little faith." That implies that you need to have a better faith. You have a little faith. Your faith needs to be increased. Here's one in talking about being anxious for the things of this life. Jesus teaches that God will take care of us on food, shelter, and clothing and the things of this life. If God doth so clothe the grass of the field, which is today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? When the disciples were in the boat and there was a storm on the Sea of Galilee and they're bothered by that and they wake Jesus, He says, "O ye of little faith." When He warns them about the leaven of the Pharisees in Mark 16 and verse 8, "O ye of little faith." When He comes down from the mountain in the scripture reading that we had here in Mark chapter 17, Mark chapter 9 and Matthew chapter 17, when He comes down and the disciples, they could not cast out this demon. And by the way, they had the power to cast out demons. Did you catch that in that story? They had the power to cast out demons, but they weren't doing it. They couldn't do it. And Jesus said, "O ye of little faith." There was something about this particular demon that was had the best of the apostles. And He says later in the parallel accounts, it comes out by prayer and fasting. They needed stronger faith. Turn with me to Mark chapter 9, the scripture reading that we had there. Did you notice the man said, "I believe, help me with my unbelief"? Brethren, we believe some things. But the problem is the part of our life that is unbelieving. And we need to increase to the point where all of it is believing. What is happening here in Mark chapter 9 is that the Father has faith. "I believe." That's why He said to Jesus to start with, "Can you do something for Him?" He has some level of belief. But then there's also something about it that He is not believing. Maybe he's lacking in some area that Jesus could complete the task. But he admits that, "I believe, help me with my unbelief." There's a part here that is lacking and that needs to be made up and increased. Jesus said, "All things are possible to him that believeth." Straightway the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help thou mine unbelief." In Acts chapter 16 and verse 5, the churches were strengthened in the faith and in number. They increased in faith and in number. Our faith can increase. It can grow. It can get better. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 15. When I see the world around us, And I see the erosion of faith in some Christians and maybe even in our own family members. Let me ask you this. Do you have any family members who were more faithful a few years ago than they are today? What's happened? They were not increasing their faith along the way. Now they're going the other direction. It's a very important topic. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 15, and speaking of the Corinthian brethren, but having hope that as your faith groweth, we shall be magnified in you. As your faith groweth. Yes, the Bible teaches that we can increase and grow our faith. We must. And we'll see why in just a minute. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. Paul talks about night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and may perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Here is faith, but then there's something lacking. Think of it as a piece of pie. You walk into the kitchen and you see a slice missing. Oh, somebody has eaten a piece of pie. There's a wedge there that is lacking. Something's missing. And Paul wanted to complete or perfect or mature that in these Thessalonian brethren. It may have been that some of them were not working as they should. Chapter 4 and verse 11. It may have been that some of them were lazy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 talks about those who were busybodies. It may be chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, where some of them were committing fornication, but still attending church services. Something was lacking, and Paul wanted to complete that. That implies that faith can be increased. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 1, 3, we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, even as it is meet or necessary, for that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the love of each one of you toward one another aboundeth. They were growing in some areas. Is your faith growing exceedingly? And then, of course, the well-known Bible passage we're all familiar with, where in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, we grow, we add to our faith these things of what we call Christian graces. Out of all the things that we could ask Jesus, I would suggest that we start with this one. Lord, increase our faith. Because that's what we're going to need to make it all the way through. Why? Why is it important? Well, first of all, to hold on to what we have. That's what I'm seeing today. I'm seeing that we're not holding on. And what can happen to others can happen to us. Let's remind ourselves of the principle found by Jesus in Matthew chapter 13, and it's mentioned several places in the Gospels, where Jesus says that if you don't use it, you will lose it. Somebody says, well, faith is like, putting money in a vault and you lock it up there and it'll just always be there. No, if we're not increasing and growing and using it, we're going to lose what we have. And that's what we're seeing in some of these cases. Sometimes it starts with attendance. Sometimes it starts with some attitudes toward biblical and spiritual things. But you see, this person just isn't what they were 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Whoever has not, whoever is not willing to grow and add to that, whatever you have, you're going to lose it. We all know that to be the case. Raise your hand if you can do physics problems just like you did when you were a senior in high school. Raise your hand. Some of you might be. Raise your hand if you can do those chemistry problems and read French and Spanish just like you did in high school. Haven't been using that lately. And I have to raise my hand up there with the rest of them. You've lost it, haven't you? I've lost it. We can't recite all that because we weren't using it. Now, some of you folks in your work, you're using those things that maybe you had to learn in high school with regard to science and math and things like that. And you can continue to recall those things to mind because you're using it on a daily basis. But when we don't use it, we lose it. I could barely do the physics problems when I was sitting in class. I definitely can't do them now. Whatever he has, Jesus said, it will be taken away from him. And that's what we're seeing. Slowly, well, just not attending as I should, not reading my Bible as I should, not having the values that I did when I was a younger Christian. We're just slowly losing. Why do we increase our faith? In order to keep from departing from it altogether. A number of passages in 1 Timothy. Turn with me there. There are men by name. Not just some generic, theoretic possibility of falling away, but by name. Hymenaeus and Alexander, they have made shipwreck concerning the faith. And one day, your name might be there. My name might be there. A family member that you know of, their name might be there. If we don't increase our faith. Chapter 4 and verse 1, some shall depart from the faith. Will that be you? Will that be me? We say, no, that could never happen. And then we find folks close to us where it's happening. Chapter 6 and verse 21, some have erred concerning the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8, some are reprobate, worthless, concerning the faith. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 39, the Hebrew writer says, let's not shrink back. Let's not go back the opposite direction. But we need to have the faith of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul. We don't need to be going backward. We need to be going forward. And it's in the same book and even the same chapter where he mentions attendance in verse 25. To hold on to what we have. Turn with me to the little book of 2 John. I don't know about you as a parent, but lately as a parent, as my children have gotten older, we have three children now of adult age. It has been more of a prayer on my lips lately about, Lord, please keep them faithful. Please help them to stay faithful. Myself included. Look at 2 John verse 8. Look to yourselves that you lose not the things which we have wrought, but that you receive a full reward. We're losing what we have. We've had it for a while. It's been great for a while. We've been doing it right for a while. And now we're just losing it. And it's because we won't increase our faith. We plateau. We're good with the status quo. We're good with the amount that we have. Why increase our faith? To accomplish better things. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. The Lord wants us to double our talents, but what we have here is fear. I don't want to do anything. And so we don't do greater things. We don't add anything. And we end up just burying what we do have because of fear. He said, I was fearful and went and hid my talent in the earth. And in Mark chapter 4 with the storm on the Sea of Galilee, well, we were fearful. And the Lord said, because you were fearful, you have this little faith. We won't do anything more, anything greater, anything better. and we just plateau. And then Matthew 13, then we just start going the other direction. We need to increase our faith to fortify ourselves. What we're seeing is the devil. Somebody says, well, I don't believe in the devil. Well, just walk outside. Just walk outside. You don't even have to walk outside. Turn on your TV if you doubt the existence of the devil. That's what's happening. He's attacking Christians. He's attacking young people. And we have to fortify ourselves. Remember those cereal ads, fortified with vitamins? We need to be built up. We need to be fortified. A fort. There needs to be a spiritual wall around us when we go to school and when we go to work and other places. And that's faith. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. We need a faith that is resilient. We were talking about adultery in the adult Bible class. I asked if anybody had that happen in their family. There were 12 hands that went up. And then I asked, were any of those members of the church? 7 hands went up. Why is it happening, brother? Because the devil gets in and we're not having a fortified, strengthened faith, and so we give into that. Paul says, Peter says, the proof of your faith, the testing of your faith, more precious than gold. Our faith is tested, it's proved, it's forged in the fires of controversy and trial and tribulation and temptation. And how does it come out? Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 9, the very passage on the devil, verse 8, that he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom, verse 9, the devil, whom, withstand steadfast in your faith. You can stand up to him. But you can't if you have little faith, weak faith. If we do not increase, we will be weak. If we do not increase, we're going to shrink back and hold back and be fearful. If we do not increase, we're going to lose what we've invested in. You think about investments that you're making. Some people have IRAs and 401s and CDs and bonds and different kinds of investment stocks. How would you like to do that a good portion of your life and then just one day go and take it and just throw it all out in the street? Just lose your investments. That's what's happening spiritually if we don't increase our faith. Let me ask you this, as I ask myself, as we go through each day, through each week and month and year, is my faith increasing? How would you know that? How would you know if your faith was increasing? How would I know if my faith was increasing? How do you know if your bank account is increasing? You check the statement each month, don't you? You look at it. So when you look at your faith, do you see any increase there? Am I more trusting of God's Word? You know, there are people that will trust certain Bible passages. Yeah, I believe this Bible passage. Now, this one over here, I'm not really sure about that one. On the husband and wife, or the one about the baptism, or the one about the... There's some Bible passages that I trust, but I don't know if I trust that God really wants me to do such and such. Stay married for life? I don't know about that. If my faith is increasing every year, I'm trusting God's Word more every year. And it may be different than the way I was raised. It may be different than a Church of Christ, maybe even, that I was in when I was younger. And I'm coming to find out more of God's Word and the work and the worship of the church, or the organization of the church. And I'm learning more about those kinds of things, or a number of things in my life. And I trust that. It's not the way I was raised. But my faith has increased to where I'm trusting more of God's word and less of what man says. That would be one indication. Another one would be, am I more obedient to God's word? Not just studying it and reading it, but getting up and obeying it. Faith shows itself in obedience in Hebrews chapter 11. And if my faith is increasing, I'm being more obedient than I was before. And if my faith is increasing, I'm more evangelistic with God's word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul said, we believe, therefore we speak. The greater faith that I have, the more I want to talk with others about that. If we're struggling with what we call personal evangelism and things like that, the problem is probably our faith. We don't really believe strongly enough what we believe in order to tell somebody else. We hold back and we hide it. Paul said, we believe, therefore we speak. The more I believe, the more I'm going to speak, the less, so forth. Is my faith increasing? Is your faith increasing? Or have we even thought about it? We might be thinking about faith with regard to it's something you get early in life and you just sort of stay that way the rest of your life. That's what's happening with those who are falling away. We're supposed to be asking the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. So how do we do that? Well, it's not by some miraculous thing. We're not asking Jesus to work some special miracle. It's not by ignoring it. We could say, well, I'm not going to do anything with it. And it'll just sort of resolve on its own. It doesn't work like that. Faith doesn't work like that. There are some things that work like that. You know, there might be some knock in the car. If you ignore it after a little while, it goes away. You know, it might be something like that. You know, the washing machine, you leave it alone, it'll go away. Faith doesn't work like that. Not by giving up. Somebody says, well, it's too great. No. The Lord told them that they need to be dutiful in their service and their faith would increase. And it's not going to be by accident. It's not something you're just accidentally going to have one day and increase faith. I want to suggest two things and then we'll close this morning. Number one, we're going to increase our faith by feeding our faith. Anything is increased physically when we feed it. You want to get your fire out in the backyard bigger? Throw some fuel on it. Feed it. One time when I was in high school, Dad said, there's some trash out in the backyard I want you to go burn. I thought, man, this is great. I get to go burn some stuff. I went out there and lit it on fire and it wasn't doing anything. I went in the garage and got a can of gas. You know where that's headed. It's the first time I had ever gotten burned without even being immediately near the fire. I unscrewed. It was a hot Texas day. I unscrewed the cap on that can and I just took one step forward. The fumes, the vapors were already out in the air. That's what caught on fire first. I threw that can down and then it went off. What was I doing? I was fueling that fire. You want to increase your faith? Feed it. Fuel it. Faith comes by hearing. It's not the miraculous. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. And you've got to feed it every day. We eat regularly, don't we? Look at myself, maybe more than I should. Do we do that spiritually? Regularly? Generously, not a smattering, not just enough to get the Bible class lesson. But more. Read your Bible just for your own personal growth and profit. Eat early. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings. Start when they're infants. and keep it all the way through their life and be generous about it, not the bare minimum. How little Bible study do we need? But be generous. Religion in general is just struggling with this point where in some churches of Christ, where preachers are being asked, give us less Bible from the pulpit. Can we have maybe one Bible verse at the beginning and then the rest of it be human wisdom? And then we wonder why we're weak. We're not feeding our faith. Our Bible classes need to be full of Scripture. Our sermons need to be full of Scripture. Our families need to be full of Scripture. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul talks about to Timothy that you need to be nourished. Nourished. The word there literally means to be trained and skilled in God's Word. We think of nourishment coming from food. It doesn't need to be just a casual understanding of the Word of God. Nourished in the words of the faith. Nourished. So number one, feed your faith. And the more you nourish it and feed it, the greater it will be. And then the second thing is, you need to exercise it. In the same passage of 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6, Paul uses the word nourish that means to train and be skilled in the words of the faith. And then in verse 7, refuse profane and old wise fables and exercise thyself unto godliness. The word here is the word from which we get gymnasium. Gymnazo, gymnasium. You go there and you what? You work out. Why? Because you're trying maybe to increase your muscle strength. You're trying to increase your mobility. My dad is 92. Every time I call him, he says, "Yeah, I just got back from physical therapy and in the gym." 92 years old, he went to the gym. He's trying to keep his strength increased. That's what his doctor ordered him to do. That's what you do at the gym. This is the same word. We have to exercise and work out. It's not just something you do at a building. It's not just something where we come three times a week and sort of do that. But each day we have to work it out in our life and we will be stronger. Exercise thyself unto godliness. For bodily exercise is profitable for a little. It will do some physical things to help us. But godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life which now is and that which is to come. You take what you learn in the Word of God and you go out and you exercise with it. You use it each day. That same word is used in Hebrews chapter 5. Turn with me there. Hebrews chapter 5. It's used four times in the New Testament. One in a bad way and the other three in a good way. Here's the second place. Hebrews 5 verses 13 and 14. Faith is not just something that's three times at a building. Sometimes you'll hear somebody say, "Well, I brought my kids to church. I brought my wife to church or my husband. I just can't understand why they're unfaithful. I brought them." It's because all we did was just come to a place. We have to do things outside of this place to stay strong. We have to exercise. Put our Christianity into practice. Volunteer for things outside of the service. Go do things as a family together outside of the service that are of a spiritual nature. Something above and beyond the three times a week. This person that was shared with me last week about leaving the church, they went three times a week their whole life. And now they've quit. It has to be more than that. Their faith was not increasing along the way. Hebrews chapter 5, Verse 13, "For everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food, mature Christians, is for full-grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil." You have to go out each day and exercise and practice and work making decisions between good and evil and choosing the right thing and following the right thing. That's what makes us grow and mature. And then turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, the third time that it is used. You ever been to the gym to work out? It's one of those deals where you want to get a gym membership and it lasts for about 3 weeks and you're going, I'm not doing this anymore. It's too hard. I've done that before. It's hard. But that's what increases our muscle strength, our flexibility and mobility and whatever you're trying to increase. It takes work. And being a faithful Christian takes some work along those lines. You've got to feed it and you've got to exercise it. Hebrews 12. Verse 8. I'm sorry, verse 11. That should be verse 11. Hebrews 12, verse 11. "All chastening seemeth for the present to be not joyous but grievous, yet afterward it yieldeth peaceable fruit unto them that have been exercised thereby, even the fruit of righteousness." He's talking about chastening and going through difficult things of life. And some of these had to do with trials and tribulations. If you are exercised, verse 11, with your chastening, your trials and tribulations, that works righteousness. It makes you a better person. We need to do it regularly, or we lose. We need to do it persistently, or we go back the other way. And we need to do it all throughout our life. My dad is going to the gym at 92 because that's what the doctor wants him to do. He might not be doing that by choice, but at any age, brethren, we need to be exercising our faith. Out of all the things that you could ask Jesus, one thing I would suggest this morning, and that I want to do as well, is just simply to say, "Lord, increase my faith." Because that's what we're going to need to make it all the way through life. You may be here this morning and you've seen the slipping and the backsliding. And I hope that this morning has helped us to understand that the way we get that back is that slow journey of increasing our faith. It's not going to happen overnight, but feed it more, exercise it more. Let's not be the conversation 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years from now. "Brother so-and-so left the faith. Sister so-and-so left the faith." It won't happen if we're increasing every day. But it will happen if we're not. And so that's the encouragement. I love those requests of Jesus that were truly beneficial to the spiritual growth of the individual. The other one that comes to my mind is when the disciples asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray." But that's the subject of another sermon. Here they said, "Increase our faith." Let's go out and do that this morning so that we can stay strong all through our life and fortified against the wiles of the devil. You may need to begin that this morning by coming and obeying the gospel. If this morning were the morning that you would do that, do you know what you would be doing? You would be increasing your faith over last week. Because last week you didn't feel the need to do it. But this morning I have a stronger faith and now I'm going to step out and do that. You see how that works? Or if I need to come back to the Lord in some way. Or for those of you who are living strong lives, keep doing that, but don't plateau. Don't be satisfied with the status quo, because that's when we start going back the other direction. Ask yourself today, this week, what am I going to do specifically to feed my faith and to exercise my faith? And we will grow. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sit?